Welcome to the Hope City Church Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Wherever you're listening from, get ready for a powerful message that will inspire your faith, challenge you to grow, and remind you that there's always hope in Jesus. Let's lean in and hear what God has for us today.
Amen. Holy Spirit, help me to go in step with you and not in front of you. We are in our second week of our new series called Unwavering. If you weren't here last week, Pastor Jason kicked us off talking about unwavering consistency. Just like the apostle said, I call Pastor Paul the apostle, so I ever say the apostles, unless I specifically say the apostle Paul, okay? Just. And if you scan any of our QR codes, if you go on our website, it's gonna take you to our sermon library, okay? If you weren't here last week, please go back and listen to that message. Today, we are talking about unwavering reverence. When we talk about reverence, we're talking about having reverence for God, his people, and his church. Reverence in the Bible is a profound, heartfelt, and outwardly demonstrated respect. It's the awe and fear of God, not being afraid of him, but a high esteem of honor to him. Recognizing his holiness, his authority, his majesty. It is not merely a polite feeling, but it's an active, trembling devotion that shapes worship and obedience. Because you cannot worship without being obedient. This weekend, we took some of our leaders and we went to a women's conference, and God absolutely showed up and he wrecked us. And it was amazing. And at the same time, there was a men's breakfast here on Saturday, and God showed up and again did an amazing thing. And I thought it was interesting on the week that we're talking about reverence for God and his church that we would collectively have these experiences. It's almost like he set us up. I was here preparing on Wednesday with the worship team. And one thing you should know about me is I really don't like feet, okay? I don't know what it is about it. I don't want to see your feet. I don't want them near me. Please keep your shoes on. So I sat right here as we were praying and we're getting ready for practice. God is so funny. And I felt him just tell me, on Sunday, do not take your shoes up there because this is a holy place. And the thing about shoes is you wear them outside, inside, everywhere. I'm pretty sure the bottom of our shoes, if not the dirtiest, is some of the dirtiest things we own and have access to. So in honor and reverence for God, I dare not. Today, as we take a look in Matthew 21, we are zooming in on a time where Jesus walks into the temple. And instead of finding reverence and holiness and prayer and worship to God, he found that there's a marketplace happening in the temple and people are being scammed, people are being greedy, and he exposes the heart of man in turn to restore reverence to his Father. And a lot of times when we think about the word exposed, usually in context in society, we are exposing something that's happening in secret without the person's permission, and we blast this information in an attempt to bring them guilt and shame. In this moment, Jesus is exposing the heart of man. But today, I would like to redeem the word expose. Because when it comes to Jesus, when he exposes something, when he brings it to light, it's for our benefit. It's out of his kindness and his love for us. I want you to know here at Hope City, you are fully loved right here, right now, as you are. You are fully loved by our pastors. You are fully loved by our leadership team. You are fully loved by Father God. Hope City is also a safe place to heal. I don't know about you, but when I think about church, that wasn't always what I thought of was safety.
Right.
And this is important because today is a day of bringing things to light. And so as God exposes something, know that this is a safe place. And you are so loved, and he would do that out of the kindness of his heart so that when you leave here, you would not carry those things with you.
Right.
Because in order to receive from the Father, we have to bring things to light before him.
Wow.
And so in an effort to help you understand that this is a safe place, I'm going to go first. I'm going to expose some things that have happened in my life that God brought to light and he has had to deal with. First thing you should know is that I come from a family of divorce. On both sides of my family, as far back as I can look, there has been divorce on both sides. Both of my parents have remarried. My dad is here, Benjamin. My bonus mom, Jody, is here in the room with me. My mother has not remarried, but she has been with her partner for the last 20 years. So when my parents divorced, I went from a one family home, two parent home, to now two separate homes with two sets of parents that look completely different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't have any language, I didn't have any context, I didn't have anywhere to go to understand what was happening as a child at 8 years old. I've experienced sexual misuse in my past. And growing up, this has caused me to deal with shame, abandonment, rejection. I struggled for many, many years with imposter syndrome. Hmm. And because of the things that have happened to me, and I didn't have anywhere to go to discuss these things, I didn't know what to run to. I just knew I needed to run to something. Like some of us in this room, I ran to porn and masturbation. Because in a broken sexual child was somebody was looking for safety and comfort.
Yeah.
And the way that I was broken, it made sense to me that I would run to that thing.
Yeah.
I grew up watching inappropriate movies, listening to music, having conversations that would all reiterate the pain that I was feeling because it felt valid.
Mm.
And it was. As I grew up, as far back as I can remember, I was in church. I always say I grew up in church, but I didn't grow up in Sunday school. I didn't know, like, the Bible stories. We just sat in service. So do with that what you will. But eventually, God started speaking to me. And eventually, I started serving. I started on the worship team at 14 years old. And then eventually, I started serving in youth ministry. And at some point, I oversaw a youth ministry at the church I was at prior to moving to Oregon. We were seeing God doing amazing things, and he was moving, and he was healing, and we were growing. And in the midst of seeing God do all of these amazing things, I was still broken. And in the midst of leading, I was in full-blown alcohol addiction while being in ministry. Because even though I was in church, it wasn't safe. At some point, I spent 21 days in a treatment center, all to come back 2 months before what would I know would be everything that I knew would fall apart. My church clothes that I had spent about that time over half my life helping to build, all our friends, our family dispersed, all in one Sunday. And so I share this with you because there is nothing that I've done in my life that has earned me the right to speak to you today. A lot of times we think the person standing up here has it all together, that their story is perfect. I'm here to let you know I needed the same God,
yeah, that's right.
The same grace, the same healing, the same safety, the same God to bring things to light too. So as we take a look at our text today, we're going to understand how Jesus lovingly brings things to light. Here's something you should know about Jesus before we step into the verses. is Jesus will never use manipulation to get you to change.
Yeah, that's so good.
That's not his character. That's not who he is.
Right.
But he will tell you the truth.
Right.
And telling the truth is loving.
Yeah.
As we jump in today, we're in Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 12. Says Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. He said to them, "The scriptures declare my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law saw these wonderful miracles and heard even the children in the temple shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David." But the leaders were indignant. These are religious leaders of the time. They asked Jesus, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" "Yes," Jesus replied. "Haven't you ever read the scriptures?"
Jesus is so dope.
"For they say, you have taught children and infants to give you praise."
Yeah.
Then he returned to Bethany where he stayed overnight. I feel like a lot of times when we talk about these set of scriptures, it's a very specific message.
Yeah.
But my hope today is that we can look through a different perspective and a different lens. And the first thing that I noticed about Jesus when he entered the temple is this: kingdom business triumphs worldly gain.
Yeah.
Kingdom business triumphs worldly gain. Matthew 21:13 says, "And he said to them, the scriptures declare my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." Mind you, this temple is a place set aside for people to come and pray, commune with God, speak with him, build relationship with him. This is a holy and reverent place. And Jesus walked in and he saw people misusing it and abusing it. He saw people being scammed. He saw people being greedy. And Jesus walks in and he is attempting to restore order back to his Father's house. The outer courts was a dedicated place for Gentiles. This is anybody born outside of Jewish culture. You and I are Gentiles. This is important because this temple is a dedicated place for prayer. Dedicated times of prayer is kingdom business.
Wow.
Spending time with your Father is kingdom business.
That's right.
I know a lot of times we use prayer as an SOS. Jesus, I got $5 left in my bank account. There's no food. I have my gas tank light is on.
Yep.
I need you to stretch this and do a miracle. Do I get the 4 for $4 or do I put $5 in gas?
Right?
We cannot and we must not treat prayer as our final effort for victory.
Wow. That's so good.
We cannot treat prayer as our final effort. It cannot be the last thing that we run to. Prayer must be seen as the means to which we win. I was reading the Bible, and in my study notes, it said this. It says, "Failing to pray in all situations is to surrender to the enemy."
Amen.
You will surrender to something.
Yes, that's good. That's right.
You will worship something. You will spend time focused on something. And if you are in Christ, your lifeline is prayer. Mm-hmm. It is time spent with the Father.
Yeah.
Could it be that you're experiencing hardship not because you're doing the wrong things, but because you've cheapened the power of spiritual disciplines? The Word of God is the greatest resource we have, and yet we rarely use it. You want to know who the Father is? Open the Word.
Amen.
You want to know what He offers? Open the Word. You want to know what He says about you? Open the Word. We cannot cheapen the Word of God and expect God to do things on our behalf when we don't even know what it says and what He can do.
Wow. Come on. Wow.
Good. Prayer for the believer must be the lifeline. Prayer is how we receive power from the Holy Spirit, but prayer is also what exposes what's in our heart that does not align with God's will and best plan for our life. All righty. Me and God were having a moment. Sometimes we can be so afraid to spend time in the Word, to spend time with God, because we're afraid of what he might find. If he really saw what was in there, if he really knew what I've done, if he really understood the thoughts that I've, the places I've been on my phone.
Come on, go there.
He already knows.
Yeah.
He already knows.
Yeah.
He already sees. So the best thing that we get to do with a God who sees us and a God who loves us is to give the things that are creating a barrier between the two of us.
Wow.
I love how when Jesus went into the temple, this is the second thing that I pulled out, was that he addressed the mess, but he wasn't messy. Wow. Address the mess, but don't be messy. I told my students a couple weeks ago, y'all are messy. Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. He said to them, "The scriptures declare, my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves."
Yeah.
The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them.
Wow.
Jesus is so hood. Like, he's so gangster. Could you imagine walking in here? We have a Saturday market going on. And it would be Pastor Paul. So I'm going to use Pastor Paul as an example. Okay, stand in the place of Jesus. We have a market stuff going on here, selling stuff over here, people doing crazy stuff over here. And she walks in and she's kicking over tables. Money is flying everywhere, saying, "You are not going to disrespect the house of God. Because this is a holy place. This is a place where the Father resides. This is how we grow in our reverence for him. We are not treating this as cheap or meaningless." Jesus walked in and he does all of that.
Yeah.
And then in verse 14,
it
says the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed him. Jesus did not lie about what was happening in his Father's house.
Right.
He addressed the mess and that was going on in this temple and said, "You are not going to use this as a place to use and abuse my people. This is holy ground." And then he turns around and heals all in the same moment.
That's right.
He addressed the mess. He exposed what was going on. And then he brought healing. Because he cares about both. He cares about how we treat our temple. He cares about how we treat the temple. He cares about how we treat each other. And as he exposes it, he turns around and says, "I have healing for you." It's both and.
Yes.
Could it be that some people in your life don't care what you have to say about Jesus because you're just as mean and messy as they are? You speak on his behalf, but you look nothing like him. You don't say anything that sounds like him. You don't love like him. And you use the word of God as a weapon. So on one hand, you say God loves you and he has a plan and a purpose for your life. And on the other side, you say all things that are critical, disrespectful, and inappropriate. And could it be that your witness is ruined because your heart is not surrendered to him? Could it be that you are misusing what he has given you? You don't say you're sorry. You always have to get the last word. You're slow to forgive, and you're quick to be angry. You have a sharp tongue.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something with all the love and respect I have in my heart. Some of you are too proud to admit that you need to see a therapist. And so you use trauma and the pain of your past as an excuse to be a very mean person.
Wow.
And you bleed all over the people that you say you care about. And maybe today is the day to bring that to light. Maybe you come home and every day you need 3 or 4 beers to wind down and all your kids want is for you to be present.
Wow.
But you're so caught up in all of the things, you don't even recognize it. Maybe when your spouse gets home, you don't say, "Hi, I love you, how was your day?" You read off a list of the things they forgot to do before they left the house. Unwavering reverence starts in our heart. It starts in our heart. As I was preparing for today, God woke me up a few times. And he spoke very, very specific things. And men in the room, the Father's here to meet with you today. And some of you have been crying out in private. Some of you have been so hurt and broken in secret because you have not found a safe place to say the thing that needs to be said. And so you go to work, you put on a smile, you do all the things, you go to school, you do the sports. And you're out there and it looks like on the surface, all of the things are going well. Meanwhile, inside, your heart is crushed and broken. If you want to come up. As I was praying and getting ready, I felt like today was the day specifically for sons in the room. Ladies, please don't check out. I'm coming back for you, okay? Walk with me. As we were getting ready today, I saw a picture of sons in different scenarios. Some crying in the closet because you grew up in an abusive home, in a home where your parents yelled and there was no safe place, so you ran to the only place that was dark and quiet. Some, you were at a sporting event and you looked to the sideline because you wanted to know if your dad was proud of you, and he wasn't there. But you see all your other teammates had their dads cheering them on. And you keep asking this question, why doesn't he love me enough to show up? Some of you grew up with your father in the home. Physically, he was there, but emotionally, he was not present. And you tried to achieve and achieve and achieve and do all of the things that you thought would make him proud, and it was never enough. Some of you, your father has passed on. And all you want to do is talk to him. I thought it was interesting that this weekend, my dad was here and he was speaking at the men's breakfast. And as I was going through this list, it brought me on this journey. Because when I was young and the things that happened to me under his care, he will be held accountable for. But when God brought it up and he exposed and he asked me to forgive and release it, that's what I'm accountable for.
That's right. Yes.
You went into your adolescence. Maybe in your adolescence right now, maybe a teenager right now. And the only way you felt love is you felt like you had to go from relationship to relationship to relationship. And you felt like in order to get love, you had to give of yourself. When I was dealing with shame and rejection and abandonment, all the things that happened under his care, he will be held accountable for. But all the things that God is exposing that he wanted me to forgive and let go, I'm accountable for.
Yeah.
As an adult, when I came here, I didn't know the thing that I was looking for was a safe place to heal, because church was never that for me. But God.
Yeah.
And then I came to Hope City. And many times right here, God met me, and he addressed the thing. That thing that keeps you up at night.
Yeah.
That thing that makes you feel a little sick when you think about it. Yeah. That thing that you know that's kept you in immaturity and unforgiveness and pain all these years. That thing. I had to deal with that thing here.
Yeah.
As I look back over my life, regardless of what happened, he was with me. Even in moments as an adult being here at Hope City, there's times I have to call him and say, I need to repent to you because I've done these things. And his response every time is, I still love you. Some of you are in this room and you're still a child, emotionally, mentally, conversationally, because you didn't get what you needed from your father.
Yeah.
But I wanted to let you know that the perfect father has had you on his mind.
Yes.
That the father that has been here the entire time has had you on his mind. And today is the day of healing. Today is the day where that thing, and you know what it is, he wants that thing. But here's the thing about the Father is he's a gentleman. And he's not going to take it from you. This is something you have to willingly give to him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because what you're actually searching for is found in him. And so, men in the room, I want to apologize on behalf of women. Because in many spaces, we have not given you the safety and the freedom to be emotional, to be vulnerable, to cry and admit that you have needs and desires.
Wow.
And so you hide them, and we've emasculated you. And there have been things that women have said to you that have made you feel like less of a man. And it's robbed you. And I just want to repent to you. On behalf of any woman that has taken something from you with their words, with their actions, and they've emasculated you, I want to repent to you today. Because this is a safe place for you. In the Father's home, this is a safe place for you. And some of you in the room can no longer afford to stay stuck in childhood.
Yes.
And you've been longing and desiring for the love, approval, and comfort of a father. Papa B and Matt, if I could have you come forward, please. These are all safe men. These are all fathers. And they know what it's like to have a son who is in need. So we're just going to take a moment to allow our men in the room to be sons. And ladies, I need you to let this be a safe place for the man in your life. I need you to give him permission that in this moment, he's not a dad, he's not a husband, he's not carrying your family. Right now, he's a son.
Yeah.
Young men and teenagers in the room. The Father's purpose is to speak identity over you.
Yeah.
And today is the day that Father God wants to speak to your identity. So for any man in the room who would say in this moment, I've been longing and desiring for the love of the Father. And you may just need a hug from a safe father. I'm just going to invite you to come forward. Matt, my father, and Papa B are going to be here. And here's the thing. The pride that's rising up in you right now, that's what's keeping you in bondage. That's what's keeping your heart broken. Because you're used to carrying the weight of things. And in this moment, you get to just set it down. And I know it's in the front. And I know it's in front of people. But the Father's here. Yes. And he's specifically here to give you what you need. Yes. He specifically set aside this time just for you. Maybe some of you are in the room right now. And there have been things that you've run to. Ladies, this is for you too. There have been things that you've run to that are not in line with God's best plan for your life. And it's breaking you. And it's keeping you bound. And it's keeping you stuck. And you need to come and bow before your Father and repent to him. Saying, God, I've been running to this thing that is no longer serving me. And I turn away from it. And God, I turn to you and I receive your love. Jerry, if you could come up, please. Some of you in the room, you don't have father wounds, you have mother wounds. And you hear the criticalness of her voice. And you hear that thing that she said to you as a child. And all the ways that you don't measure up to her standard. And today is the day of healing. If I could have Venus come up, please. Jody, if you can come up, please. Pastor Avi, Jess, if you could come up, please. If you are in the room and you need a hug from a mother who loves you, who covers you, who speaks life over you, and is safe for you, I want you to come up too. This is your moment. This is your time. This is the thing you've been praying for. Some of you are in the room and you have yet to begin a relationship with Jesus. You're here and you feel him tugging at your heart. Maybe your heart is racing. Maybe your mind is racing. And there's this tension that you're experiencing. Like, I want that love and I want that freedom. Today's your day. Tiff, if I could have you add next steps. If you're in this room today and you need to surrender your life to Jesus and you need somebody to pray with you, you're going to go back to our next steps and somebody's going to pray with you. This is what I want to encourage you today. Do not leave this room until you get what you need. And I know some of you are looking back at me and I see you wrestling. This is for you. This is your time. This is the moment that you've been waiting for. So set your pride aside. I know it hurts, and I know it's deep, but today is the day of healing. Today is the day to encounter the Father and find what you've been looking for. Father, thank you for the safety that we find in your presence. May we not move from this moment before experiencing the freedom and the healing and the power that comes from the perfect Father. God, I pray for every single person who needs to move, give them the courage to move. For those who need to repent, give them the courage to repent. God, I pray that none of us would leave here the same today.
Thanks for tuning in to Hope City Church. If this message encouraged you, share it with a friend and help spread the hope. If you'd like to support what God is doing through Hope City, you can give anytime at myhopecity.church/give. Your generosity helps us reach more people with the message of Jesus. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a week. We can't wait to connect with you again. And remember, no matter what you're facing, there is hope in Jesus. We hope you have an amazing week.